On March 29th, Pelham police responded to a call about a man fighting with family. As a cruiser pulls up to the scene, dashboard camera video shows Christopher Lanzillo in the street. There's snow on the ground. Lanzillo is broad-shouldered with no shirt on. He's holding a knife.
Drop the knife! Put the knife down!
Family members are just up the driveway. Children are leaving school up the road. Lanzillo is drunk. Officer Brian Kelly, the first cop on scene, says what makes the scenario even more dangerous is what Lanzillo was shouting at police.
What he said several times to me was, "Shoot me. I'm begging you to shoot me. Please shoot me.
Drop it now!
I'm begging you to
drop it now!"
All that tells me is that he's in a pretty desperate situation in his own mind. He's feeling like there's no other options that he has, so it sounds to me like he's not going to give us any options.
Show me either one of you.
Drop the knife! Drop the knife!
So this type of scene, an armed man who's intoxicated and in a desperate mental state, this plays out year after year in New Hampshire. Jeff Strelzin, chief of the homicide unit at the Department of Justice, says these moments are often the result of years of trauma, family breakdown, and unchecked mental illness. But cops don't always know those stories when they arrive on scene. The best police can do is train for an inevitable encounter with a person who isn't behaving rationally.
In these situations, it's become the absolute worst. So it's reached a terrible endpoint, meaning that these officers are way downstream of this problem.
According to public records reviewed by NHPR, drugs and mental illness play an outsized role in police shootings in New Hampshire. Over the past two decades, law enforcement used deadly force 46 times. A little less than half of those incidents were fatal. Mental illness played a role in about a third of the cases, and more than half of the victims were intoxicated. Alcohol, crack, opioids. Most of the victims were armed.
Drop the knife!
No!
New Hampshire police are trained to look for small moments that indicate a situation could escalate and become violent. On the street in Pelham, Lanzillo paces back and forth towards his family, then towards police. One moment he's screaming, the next he's crying. Officer Kelly is looking to calm things down.
I can think of one moment when I tried to de-escalate the situation, just ask him his name. It just kind of opens that dialogue between us, and maybe he'll feel a little more comfortable with us.
What's his name?
Chris.
Chris, do me a favor and drop the knife.
Within a minute or so, three more cops show up on scene. One takes out a taser, a less lethal option if things escalate. Eventually, Lanzillo throws the knife to the ground.
Get on your knees.
Get on your knees. Get on your knees.
Get on your knees.
Get on your knees.
Lanzillo was taken into custody. No shots fired, no one injured. That's a pretty good outcome, and Pelham police insist that was because of their training. Part of that training happens in Concord at the state's criminal justice training facility.
You think you're so tough?
No, I don't think I'm so tough.
Do something about it.
All right.
You got scared?
You're under arrest right now.
Lieutenant Justin Paquette is in a small room with walls made of movie screens. He's talking to a woman on one of those screens, and she's talking back, making threatening statements, refusing to show her hands. Paquette shoots her with a taser.
Roll over on your stomach. Let me see your hands right now.
This 360-degree simulator is one part of the training all New Hampshire cadets and many active police officers get. They also speak to mental health experts and family of people with mental illness. Paquette says this little room actually simulates the physiological responses a cop will go through under real stress in the field.
You get auditory exclusion where you won't be able to hear too well, and you'll get tunnel vision. We tell the recruits all the time, we say, you will never rise to the occasion. You are going to default to whatever your highest level of training is.
The highest level of training teaches police that if their efforts to de-escalate a situation fail, they should shoot if they believe they themselves could be killed. A few years ago, that's where Hillsborough Sergeant Mark Philibert found himself. Philibert says one 911 call changed how he thought about his role as a small town cop.
I wanted to be the cop in town who plays a little basketball here and there with the kids, and never in my head did I think I was going to be the police officer that showed up to a house on somebody's worst day ever.
That day was May 19th, 2011. It was just past midnight when Philibert and a number of other police showed up at a log cabin on a rural road. It was pouring rain. According to a report from the Attorney General's office, a woman inside had been misusing prescription drugs. She had guns and had threatened to kill herself and her stepson. When shots rang out in the house, Philibert was the first through the door. He says his training instructed him to speak loudly and clearly to the family, to check corners for threats. And he says that training dictated how he responded when he saw 47-year-old Shelley Narayan.
So she was raising a large revolver at me. I raised my pistol up and shouted a few times for her to drop it, but she continued to raise it up. And the barrel was pointed at my chest, so I fired one round. Her arms went down, she went limp.
Philibert shot Shelley Narayan in the neck, killing her. The gun she had pointed at him was not loaded. That was 5 years ago, and Philibert says the memory still pops up all the time, like when he smells something that reminds him of the log cabin, or on a night when the rain is pouring down. In Philibert's 15 years on the Hillsborough Police Force, the bullet that killed Shelley Narayan was the only shot he's fired. But he has fired many more shots in the line of duty. He's done two tours in Afghanistan with the National Guard.
Hundreds of rounds in war, I don't even think about, but this one round in my community, and I say it's my community, I went to high school here, I love this town, that just like shattered everything I thought my law enforcement career would be, and then feel like you ruined a family.
That's a feeling police training did not prepare him for. For NHPR, I'm Jack Rodolico.